tech head time now. Lizzie O'Shea is a lawyer and a board member of Digital Rights Watch. Lizzie, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Customers logging onto the free Wi-Fi at places like Westfield and McDonald's might be getting spied on by authorities. What's the story here?
So people might remember there was a hotly contested bill last year that was put before the parliament and it was ultimately passed. It was designed to allow national security agencies and others to tell companies to import a weakness into their system so that they could access it for investigation purposes. And many advocates were against this, including me. I think I might have even spoken to you at the time. We were all worried about the broad-ranging nature of the legislation. It applied to so many companies. It applied in so many settings. And the story that came out today is about a briefing paper that was exactly those fears realised, I think. It talks about how agencies can use these powers to essentially tap into Wi-Fi networks in places like shopping centres, which to me seems a very long distance from the purported aim of the legislation, which was to try and stop terrorist activity. So I think it's not surprising. It's very disappointing. And I think, again, it shows that when advocates raise these concerns, that we should listen to them before allowing laws that are poorly designed to pass through Parliament.
Is this the same scenario for the free public Wi-Fi offered by local governments around Australia?
Well, it applies to any company, the powers. So, that, any kind of company that has a website is essentially how it was defined in layman's terms by the relevant department at the time. It's so broad ranging that I think any kind of private service operator who's offering a service that has internet connectivity or has a relationship with the web will be able to be captured. So, what an agency can do then is go to them and say, I want you to import a weakness into this or give us access to your back system so we can track somebody or, you know, for whatever purpose we say we've got, and they have to comply. So that's a very broad-ranging power that it's not subject to any judicial scrutiny, so there's no warrant required to do it. And I think that's pretty alarming. I think most people don't want to have to think that every time they're logging onto a public Wi-Fi network, they could be being snooped on by our national security agencies. And it also seems like a misuse of their powers. I'm not sure that they need these kinds of powers. And really, we needed to have that discussion, I think, before the laws were passed.
Next, Lizzie, there's a job going at Twitter called Tweeter in Chief, and applications are now open. But the question is, why do we care?
You're not up for the job, Patricia, I take it.
Unless they want puppy pictures, no.
I'm not sure that I know anybody who loves that platform that much, or it doesn't at least have mixed feelings about it, I think. I think Twitter's for a long time been seen as a bit on the nose for not really engaging with the problem of abuse on its platform and for shying away from the difficult decisions about how to moderate content and how to make sure that people who use the platform are able to do so in a way that's safe and it's inclusive while also balancing that with freedom of speech. So I see this as really a publicity stunt to say, oh, we're going to be allowing somebody to tweet about policy decisions we're making and what's the news from the headquarters. And I think it's not really the kind of transparency that users want, and it's not really evidence of a company that's really coming to terms with the problems that it's facing. So I'm not surprised really, but it's yet again disappointing, I think, from that platform.
And finally, new American market research shows that Facebook use is on the decline in the United States. What might be the cause of that?
Well, the first thing I think that's interesting is it's in decline amongst younger people as well, who I think don't really want to encounter their parents on Facebook or their
fair
parents'
enough.
Friends for that matter, which I think is a totally fair enough perspective. I think this sort of explains also why we've seen Mark Zuckerberg and other executives from Facebook talking about how important privacy is in a context where most people do not associate that platform with privacy. And I think they're really noticing that their user base is declining and that people are engaging with it less. And their whole business model is based on growth. So if they can't continue to keep eyeballs on their app, then it's a big problem for them. I think in some ways it reflects some good things. So the removal of clickbaity type stuff and fake news that might otherwise have driven people to remain on the platform. And that maybe that moderation is producing less time for users. And I think that's a good thing personally for democracy, but it may be bad for Facebook's business model. And I wonder when that's going to bite really at Mountain View. And I guess it remains to be seen.
Can we make any comparisons to Australia's use of Facebook?
Well, I think Australians are pretty similar in tracking with Americans in this respect. I think also the last election, there is some discussion around the role of Facebook in public debate and putting certain views before audiences in ways that are transparent or not transparent. And so I think that kind of idea that Facebook might be a platform that's not just inherently good, but actually has some negative qualities when you don't get to have a public debate. In fact, you're in kind of your own bubble and you maybe are seeing things that other people aren't seeing. So I do feel after the last election, we might start to have a few more questions about whether that was a good thing and start to look at how we might protect our democracy against the risks that come with Facebook. And as these kind of scandals pile up, I suppose, for the company, I think it's going to continue to have trouble keeping its user base and keeping its user base on the platform for long periods of time.
Lizzie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Lizzie O'Shea is a lawyer and a board member of Digital Rights Watch.